if you could regrow a hand, don't you think that would actually be a bad thing? Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about the return of the house call. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. We're living in the future.
Yep.
And the past, I guess.
And I guess so. Live in the moment.
Big time. Oh,
yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we haven't done any housekeeping in a little while. So we just wanted to give you a quick update, quick shout out to the couple of folks who have joined the list. We're up to 27 subscribers on our mailing list.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned the mailing list at the start of the episode in a while. And a lot of people might not listen at the very end. You know, cut out once the music starts.
Good point. Very good point. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can be the very next subscriber to our mailing list, which you can find at terrifyingrobotdog.com. Just look for the big Keep Me in the Loop button at the top. And if you sign up for that, we promise not to spam you. We will just send you an announcement every week when the podcast is available and include the show notes right there for you so you don't have to weary yourself visiting the website.
Get all those entertaining links and alternate titles that
Yeah,
there was a huge list last week. There were some good ones.
Yeah, we had a lot of quotes last week.
Yeah, and speaking of last week, I apologize. I was apparently recording from within an airplane bathroom.
Really good connectivity from those airplane bathrooms and acoustics.
Yeah, well, no, I apparently had the wrong mic input.
Yeah.
And we didn't notice it until later in the editing.
It's a bummer. Well, this week we triple checked. Everything's plugged into the right place. Okay. So it's been an eventful week in terms of the future.
Yeah, just a lot of little stuff.
You're again, yet again, building a custom computer keyboard.
I am once again, yes. Yes, I've decided I need a new one for the iMac.
Don't tell Richard.
No, it's okay. Actually, it all worked out, so.
It's our little secret.
Yeah. Yeah, don't tell him how much I spent on this project.
How many custom keyboards do you have? Just the two now, or is it? It's got to be
custom in that I have built entirely. I've only got the one, but I have another one, my main keyboard that I purchased and then modified heavily, and then I have another one here that I've just put different keycaps on.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, you have more customized keyboards than I have keyboards.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's an odd hobby. But in preparation for building this new custom keyboard, I wanted a somewhat specialized tool that for a job that I could have done with a screwdriver, but that would be much easier with a specialized little tool that involves removing some clips from some very small switches. And so I decided yesterday to look around on the internet and see if I could find such a tool, and I found several that I could purchase, and then I found a 3D model of one, and literally 1 minute later, I had it in my hand.
Oh, is that little H-shaped thing?
Yeah.
It's like a little double screw. It looks like a catamaran screwdriver with with like little pry bars at the end.
Yeah.
And like, think of what you just said. You looked around and you could buy it, have a plane at FedEx, and all these people ship it to you, like get the whole global supply chain
involved. Yeah.
Or you could just download a file and print it out in your house.
Right.
I mean, come on. That is, yeah, you know, you can't, current technology, there's a lot more that you can't print feasibly than you can. But what a trend. Like if that gets to, you know, futuristic levels, like, you know, the Expanse recyclers plus printers, where you can basically throw anything consisting of atoms into a grinder and it turns into filament that can be, you know, re-extruded or whatever, re-machined into something else, anything from water to a gun. It's like, think of what that does. Like, it's almost like if you extrapolate out like 100 years, FedEx would be in like the, what business would they be in?
They'd be selling you these machines.
Yeah.
You'd buy your FedEx reprocessor.
Right. Man. So I'm just imagining like a Mr. Fusion from Back to the Future, where you just like throw your recycling, you know, what you currently throw in your recycling bin, you throw it into the top of your printer. your FedEx printer. It grinds this stuff up and you can, and turns it into stuff that can print out new plastic stuff. So you have like a little plastics manufacturing, desktop manufacturing.
And this was, it was very satisfying in a way that, that printing like little knickknacks or the D&D dungeon terrain tiles wasn't, because I needed a thing, and then I had this thing, and I didn't have to order it. I didn't have to wait for days. Like speaking of expensive hobbies, the other day I had my RC truck out and slammed into a concrete end of a bridge because I'm blind.
That sounded bad.
Yeah. Well, the thing's about 2 feet long. I was not in it. I was driving it from afar via remote control.
Wow.
But yes, it was bad for the truck, and so I broke apart and I had to order a new one, and it was just a plastic piece.
Mm.
If I had a model for it or wanted to take the time to learn how to make it, then I could have printed a replacement part and been back up and running into more things within the hour.
Mm. So we could almost do the whole episode on this. It's like the missing piece there, or the missing link there, is where do you get the plans, right? So that was going to be my first question to you, but you already answered it, which is how did you make the plan for the thing so fast, but you found one? So the missing piece is, how do I get the plans if it doesn't exist? But that's being worked on feverishly by people who are trying to set up capture technology in cameras so that you can just sort of, you know, wave your phone around something and it creates a reasonably decent, at least the beginning of a model of something that you already have one of.
Right. Yeah. Because you can, I mean, right now you can go into download free modeling software like Blender and build models and convert those to STL files and then down to G-code and print those out. And that works perfectly fine. But you have to know how to use Blender. And
yeah, it'd be less work to just buy it for $5, the physical one.
I mean, it's one of those things that it sounds like it's fun to do. And I do a lot of artsy stuff, but it's one skill that I just totally don't have. And as many times as I've tried, I can't get my head around it. Like I don't care enough to put that much time into learning it.
Right. Imagine if you could take a picture of your broken truck fender with your phone and then have that be the basis of a model that you could then just clean up in the app.
Like stick the two pieces back together.
Yeah. Yeah. Like erase the break.
Yeah.
You know, like, I suppose everybody's used Adobe Illustrator, but that's probably not true. But you just like take that, just get the break out of the 3D model that you created by taking a picture of it and print it. So, jeez. Yeah, you were going to say, sorry, I interrupted you. You were going to say something about Richard.
No.
Okay. Never mind. This is the secret from Richard episode.
No, keeping all the secrets from Richard.
Oh, man. So this, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I wonder if The Expanse is like the Star Trek, the new Star Trek, like the old Star, the very original Captain Kirk Star Trek inspired legions of nerds who ended up creating smartphones and flip phones. And then it led to universal communicators. And like they kind of, Roddenberry really did a decent job predicting a bunch of stuff, or perhaps it's life imitating art. In fact, it probably is. But I feel like The Expanse is the next one. It's like, it shows, it's like, okay, everybody, okay, nerds worldwide, here's the prototype, here's the mock-up of the future. You figure out the implementation, but this is what it's going to be like. And it's crazy how much stuff from that show is, which is, you know, 300 years in the future, you can already see it. It's already coming together. Like, you can see the beginnings of it.
Right, because like you said, recycle the things, break them down to their component atoms, and print out what you need. Or
like the general availability of AI and machine learning, sort of base level machine learning tech applications. Base level applications that are based on machine learning. Like we were, you know, yesterday, I guess it was, as we record this, I was manually cobbling together audio scripts for a conversational computing interface. And it was pretty time. It felt like something that should have been easy, but there's just no tool for.
Right.
So I was like, hey, Kelly, do you want to build something cool? And like, what, approximately 32 seconds later, you know, because of the Lego building blocks laying around in the software development world, you built something in like no time flat that was, it would be inconceivable 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
I've got maybe about 6 hours in the whole project so far. Mm. And you had at one point this idea for an app called Spoken.
Oh, yeah.
that we had made this. We're working on this massive plan of how to do it and how to make the technology work and everything. And like, I could do that as like a Rails Rumble project this year.
Right. It was like a huge undertake. It would have been a huge undertake. What was that? Mm-hmm. Maybe 5 years ago?
It wasn't even that long, I don't think.
No.
3 or 4, maybe.
That was a cool idea.
Yeah.
But so, okay. But so this thing is just like, think of the building blocks that you pulled together to make it work. So like Rails, first of all.
Yeah.
Which, you know, probably everybody listening here knows what that is. But that's like Rails, just that there. Think of the massive amount of work, the developer hours that have gone into that, the entire ecosystem, all the gems. So like how many gems did you pull into that thing?
Actually, not many, only a couple.
Okay. But like
the AWS SDK and then one more.
Oh, okay.
That's a wrapper for it.
So. Okay, not that.
No.
I mean, but I've seen apps you've worked on that have like 30.
Yeah. Yeah. For larger apps, that's not uncommon at all.
Yeah. So, okay. So, boom, all of a sudden you've got like an interface for this thing. And, oh, we need to have an option of like very realistic sounding, what do you even call it? Like robot voices, you know, like text to speech that mm-hmm. is not like just horridly bad. Like a relatively realistic sounding text to speech. Oh, it's basically free.
Yeah, the first 12 million characters are free.
So Amazon Web Services has this thing called Polly that you type text into, and you can pick from.
It's probably 30.
There's like probably 30 locales, and then underneath each locale, there are one or more. I don't know what to call them. Personas, almost.
Mm-hmm. The voices is how they refer to them.
Okay. So, you know, everything from adult female to child female, adult male, child male, different accents, different versions of accents. I was using Welsh yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's you can add, I didn't even get into this piece, but you can add.
You can add to the lexicon.
Lexicon, right. You can add to the lexicon so that I don't even know what, I didn't even look into that yet. I didn't even need to. But it's extensible. On top of how amazing it is, you can extend it. Okay, yeah. That's crazy. And basically for free for anything, not even casual, even a more than casual use is basically free.
Their free tier is 12 million characters for the first year, and then after that, I think every 12 million characters is like 4 cents. It's something ridiculously cheap.
It's free. It's
free.
Let's just call it what it is. So certainly, and perhaps that pricing model is them, you know, trying to encourage people into this sort of this space. I mean, they've got a horse in the race, mm-hmm. so it's not shocking that they would want to increase their data set. You know, what kind of things are people putting in there? Maybe they can learn something from the lexicons that people add and builds their database for Alexa. Who knows? So crazy. And even the web browser. Oh, you can just like click a button in a web browser and it records MP3s for you.
Yeah.
Like that was possible 5 years ago. No, you know, it's just crazy. So anyway, I just see that it just seems like, you know, like the expanse, it's like this prototype or this mock-up for the future of like, oh, here's cheap AI. You can basically put it in everything. Yeah. Here's all these applications pre-built for you, like computer vision and realistic text to speech. And it's free. Don't worry about it. No big deal. And taking all these things that seem to be coming out faster and faster and faster and assembling them in ways that at first will probably do things we already do more cheaply and easily. But I feel like in the near term, we'll see things that weren't possible before those things were available mm-hmm. that get created. Was that a good segue into the?
yeah, we can segue into there.
Okay,
we'll just roll on in.
For example, so smooth. 5 years of podcasting, and that's the kind of segue you get.
We're pros.
Total pro. Watch out, ABC Morning Radio. Here I come. So. You sent me this article about the Doctor Bot.
Yes.
You want to like give people a A quick splash.
A quick splash. The Dr. Bot, imagine a self-driving vehicle that's basically just a pod that rolls around, and you can summon it, and it can go where it's needed, and then you step inside, and it performs various diagnostics on you. And just this pod that rolls up to your house, and you go out, and you step in, and you get a medical exam.
So the question I think that's on everybody's mind is it bigger on the inside?
That's the question I want to know.
They really missed the boat. They really missed an opportunity there, because it could definitely look like a TARDIS.
Yeah, it could just completely look like a blue phone box. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, there's a photo of this. I don't know if it's real. It looks like it's real. Let me see. Does it say? So this firm.
The photo is real. I mean, it's not like a rendering or anything.
Yeah, I don't think it is. They certainly worked hard to make it look real if it isn't.
It kind of looks like one of those like rolling storage units out of Star Wars or something.
Yeah, it does look very Star Wars design-wise.
Yeah, it has a very, very spacey sort of feel to it.
Yeah, so, all right. So Seattle-based firm Artifact designed this thing. They call it AIM. I'm guessing AIM is some play on artificial intelligence medicine or something. And, you know, according to their press release, they get what they're like, they get it. They get the big picture of what they're doing here, because that, you know, let me find the quote that really clicked with me. What's unique about the concept is less about the individual components, data platform, an autonomous vehicle, AI powered diagnostics, some of which already exist, but how they connect and interact with each other in a system and experience that allows us to maximize value at the patient, provider, and social level. Like that's like comical almost.
Yeah.
Except it's true. Like, I mean, data platform, autonomous vehicle, no, it's obvious, like obviously, that's no big deal. It's taken for granted. AI powered diagnostics, so what? But what's really interesting is the way we put them together. And I think that's the way it's going to be, where you're like, okay, we've got all of these things that are cheap or free, or at least reasonably priced, and we can assemble them together in a way that creates a new experience that, at least in this case, would hopefully encourage better behavior or better behavior. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the future is going to be all about mashups.
Yeah. So, oh man, that's interesting. You just triggered a random thought. At the talk that we did a couple weeks ago with Josh Clark and Chris Messina, Chris showed a video of Steve Jobs talking about computers in the 80s. And he was like, what's really the difference between a car, a truck, and a dump truck? Like a car, a pickup truck, and a dump truck. What's really the difference? They all have four wheels. They all have seats. They all have a steering wheel. They're the same thing, right? No, of course they're not the same thing. But what's different? The difference is in the emphasis in the design. They assemble all the same things in different ways that are applicable to different use cases. Like you would make no sense to drive a dump truck around as your main vehicle, right? That would be cool. And I would love you if you did that. Dear listener, if you drive a dump truck around as your main vehicle, I want to know.
Yeah, send us pictures.
Please. But you know, it's like, it's funny because later he used the same analogy when he announced the iPad. He's like laptop computers, desktop computers, that's a truck.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like a personal computer. That's a truck. That's for people who don't work. For people who just want to get online and check email and do, you know, communications and socialize and all that stuff and shop. All they need is an iPad. That's a car. Man. So anyway, your point about mashing things up in different ways, you know, this stuff, it just reminded me of that, where it's like the design emphasis is in a different place to appeal to a different use case. And having that will, in this, like encourage hopefully better behavior for people who care about their health, I guess, you know?
Yeah. And also just the availability of medical care in rural areas and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Like, well, so CVS has this thing called Minute Clinic. I don't know if that's well known. I suppose it probably is, but CVS in the United States, CVS is a chain pharmacy, and a couple years ago, they started this thing called Minute Clinic. You know, like I went into our local CVS and they gave me a flu shot.
Right.
Which, kind of makes sense. You're in a pharmacy and they've got medicine. And so, okay, one of them comes out and gives me a flu shot. But that was a huge difference. You walk into a retail place and somebody sticks a needle in your arm.
Yeah, I mean, you can get flu shots at Walmart now. It's not just limited to CVS. I mean, And then how strange is that? It's just, I guess the oddness of that never occurred to me before because it's always been right there with the pharmacy. You're like, oh, okay, pharmacy section, they're giving flu shots. But when you think about it, it's like, yeah, I'm walking into Walmart and letting someone stick a needle in my arm.
Yeah, like get out the tinfoil hat. It's obviously a government conspiracy. So how are we going to get this? You know, how are we going to infect more people with our brain controlling? You know, so it's like, wow. So it's, you know, on the one hand, you might be like, well, I'm never going to get into a TARDIS looking self-driving car and stick my arm into a thing and get jam needles in my arm. But, you know, I think people have demonstrated that they are, you know, if the trust is there to, mm-hmm. you know, if enough trust is there and the cost benefit ratio is there, then why wouldn't people do it?
A number of times when I go to the doctor, it's because I need an eye exam, and having such messed up eyeballs, getting to the doctor is not an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if that thing could roll up into my driveway and check my eye,
yeah.
Like lately, the past couple of nights, I've noticed more floaters and stuff, and I've had migraines with them too, so I'm pretty sure that's the cause, but I'm still going to schedule an appointment with my eye doctor just to make sure.
Right. Yeah. My doctor is awesome. I have one of those concierge doctors where you pay, you pay like a membership to the office, so he doesn't have to have a lot of patients. Mm. So when you go in there, like I almost have to be like, I'm like looking at my watch, like, doc, I gotta go. I mean, it's great that you're being this thorough and asking me all these questions and talking about, you know, he takes a very holistic approach, you know, about how's business, how's stress, he's curious about stress and like, what he's been doing for eating and exercise and all this stuff. And he's like really gets into it. It's, you know, we sit in his actual office for like at least a half an hour, just like sort of shooting the breeze. And well, I mean, what a different experience. So, but still I still have to go there. There are things that I'm like, that'll probably go away, you know, and I don't. Because I still have to make an appointment and go down there. And it's close, but I ride my bike. I don't like to drive. So I'm kind of busy. I don't want to.
Yeah, the weather's bad. Yeah.
Right. And then before you know it, it's 6 months that I've had this, like, whatever thing on my toe. And now I'm just used to it. And, you know, and then I go in for my annual visit. And he's like, what's this thing on your toe? And I'm like, I don't know. I thought it would go away. And it'll probably go away. And he's like, how long have you had it? I don't know. 8 months.
You know, like, right. Like, dude, it hasn't killed me yet. It must not be a big deal.
Right. I mean, maybe it's just I'm old and I've got like so many things on my toe that it's like, it's just whatever, you know. But if I could just be like, yeah, Uber, get me a doctor. And the Uber doctor just shows up and I stick my toe in some kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, that's going to go away. Don't worry about it. Or like, oh, just, you know, whatever.
Like, oh, you have a new lump, but it's nothing to worry about.
Or it's like, dude, that's a toenail. Clip that thing.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's, I mean, you know, we've got anybody who's got kids, like there's always some new bump or bruise or thing. And I'm like a panicky about that stuff. I'm like, well, oh, what's that? Is that a tick bite? Is that, you know, is that poison ivy? Are they going to I just get super nervous about that stuff.
Yeah. The number of times that Richard and I have sat there going, do we take her to the doctor? Do we wait?
Mm-hmm.
Do we take her to the doctor? Do we wait?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because especially with kids, it's a little easier now that she's older. But especially when they're little, it's like they have no good way to like communicate or even understand the concept of pain versus severe pain versus like if the worst pain your kid has ever experienced is a hangnail, then on a scale from 1 to 10, a hangnail is going to be a 10.
10, right? And even before they get to the point where I mean, there's a long period of time when they can't express it at all except for screaming. Mm-hmm. So you're like, I mean, I think in the scheme of things, we were a lot less panicky when they were at the pre-talking phase than some of our friends. Like we have a lot of friends with their first kid. They were in the emergency room like every week. It's like, he seems a little different. Could you run a full suite of diagnostics to make sure that he's a, you know, we were not like that, but I get the impulse
though.
They
should just give these pods to new parents.
Yeah, totally.
Like you should just be able to buy a bassinet that has all the diagnostic material in it.
I know, right? It's the med bay. It's the Rosie. Yeah. It's the med bay from the Rosie. That's what I want. I would want that. That would be great. Yeah. You know, regrowing a hand.
Mm-hmm.
If you could regrow a hand, don't you think that would actually be a bad thing? Like it would encourage you to be take bigger risks.
Like do things that would,
yeah,
that could lead to losing a hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It would still hurt though.
That's true. There's that. I don't know. I don't care about pain as much as I get older. Like if I could, if I knew I could regrow a hand, I probably would use a chainsaw or a table saw. I can't stand power tools. I'm like mortally afraid of power tools. If I had nightmares, they'd be about power tools. But if I could regrow limbs, man, that would be awesome. So anyway, it's so exciting, don't you think?
Yeah, it is.
There's so much positive. There's so much, you know, we've talked before about optimism versus pessimism in technology. And it does really seem like, you know, obviously bad things can come out of these tools too, because like bad actors can use them as well. But man, it seems like there's so much opportunity to increase, you know, improve quality of life.
Like I haven't had anything major happen lately in terms of technology, but there's just been so many little things like, oh, printing the tools I need, or let's script this tool that I need, or, oh, here's this fitness tracker that gives you a better idea of what your day is like. And it's just a culmination of a bunch of uses of technology and a bunch of little ways that are adding up to have a big impact on the quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We haven't done a gadget episode in a long time. And I'm like, I feel like I haven't seen, maybe gadgets are just disappearing from my radar, because it's like they're not that interesting. It's like there are fewer ones that are novel. I mean, I'm looking around. I got that. I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but I got the iPad Pro with the pencil and all that and the keyboard case. And that's like, you just totally take that for granted. Take Google Home, take it for granted. Alexa, take it for granted. We got the new Google Show with the screen on it. It's just like, yeah, obviously, like this stuff doesn't seem, it doesn't even warrant mention. And so I'm like, what's the, we've had tons of shows in the past about, like, you know, printing alcoholic drinks, you know, like a bartender printer. It's like, yeah, it just doesn't even sound interesting. It's so obvious now. Like, okay, somebody decided to do that, but.
Right. These things have become normal and commonplace. And I mean, you can go, like you said, you can go to any big box retail store now and walk out with an armload of IoT devices. And I don't know, on the one hand, it's like, maybe we shouldn't be taking this stuff for granted already. On the other hand, it's normal now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if it's in Walmart, it's pretty mainstream. I'm not saying it's the most popular thing that somebody's going to buy in a Walmart, of course, but some buyer that works there has data that indicated to them that it would sell.
Yeah.
And it probably does.
Yeah. It's like we have data that says enough people want this that we should stock 40 units or whatever.
Yeah. So it's let's to be conservative, say that it is emerging or has emerged out of an incredibly niche realm into maybe not middle of the mainstream, but at least into the mainstream somewhere. And it's just proliferation. It suddenly seems like everything's normal. It makes everything seem like it's normal. Like, what's the quote? Like, you know, a chair was technology. When things work all the time reliably, that's when they stop being considered technology. Technology is the stuff that barely works.
That's an interesting way to put it. But yeah, you stop caring so much once it starts working like it should. It's just, then you get mad when it doesn't.
Yes. Wild. All right. Is that a good place to leave it, do you think?
Yeah. I think that probably is.
Cool. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Talk. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, would you like to see Kelly and I in your inbox once a week? Get new episodes delivered straight to you with show notes, links to additional content, and oh so much more. Plus, you can reply to any message to suggest topics for future episodes. To get the inside track, go to terrifyingrobotdog.com and look for the Keep Me in the Loop button. That website again is terrifyingrobotdog.com. I have superpowers, but I'm so sleepy.